Our theme through this year is discipleship, following Jesus. Thank you. Our remote's not working, so. During January, the month of January, and there'll be a different main heading in each month, we're actually looking at this idea about being called by a person, called by Jesus himself. And we know that Jesus called people to follow him, not just his teaching. And on 12 occasions in the New Testament, he's addressed as rabbi or teacher. We know that the Greek word for disciple means learner. But that is not enough for the way Jesus talks about the relationship he has with his disciples. It's much more than that of teacher and pupil. The Greeks, with all their thinking and philosophizing, had pupils, disciples. But Jesus' understanding was more than this. Discipleship is about following the person, Jesus. And if Jesus is to be followed, then it quite simply means he is to always come first. And Christian discipleship is based on this call by Jesus to follow him. Members of the early church in the Gospels and in Acts were addressed as disciples particularly, although in the epistles and some of the other books, they're actually described as believers, brothers and sisters, family, and so on. So we are disciples if we're seeking to follow Jesus to a person, and not just a set of values and principles, although those values and principles are obviously enshrined in the person Jesus Christ. Thanks. The scripture that Hilary's read to us is one that some of us will know very well. As always with the scripture, it's important not just to quote verses out of context, but to look at the context before, context afterwards. That helps us to understand it properly. And the words of Jesus here, "Come to me," and what follows on from that, are a cross between a strong command and a welcome invitation. And it's quite hard to express what we mean by that, but I've come back to that phrase, the summons. It's a phrase that the Iona community use in a lot of their music, describing this combination of welcome invitation and strong command, the summons. So some of you may have other summons to a court. This is slightly different. Come to me. Come to me. Wonderful words that we began our worship with. Jesus notably doesn't say, go to God. He says, come to me. Jesus summons and actually follows on an amazing claim about himself and his relationship to the Father, who is Lord of heaven and earth. His reason for being able to say, come to me, is because of who he is. Otherwise, it could have been thought as slightly outrageous or arrogant. But because it's rooted in who Jesus is, it's totally valid. In the verses that come before, it's most obvious that Jesus is claiming to be God's revelation. God has self-disclosed through him, the Son. And this, in this season of Epiphany, we think about revelation. God revealing himself in Jesus Christ to all the peoples of the world. Amongst the Greeks and the Jews and even those Romans who were looking for God, Jesus declares that he is the Father God's true representative. More than that, he actually says the Father and he are one. And his summons says, you must decide one way or the other. And yet, that word decision is also not totally true, because it's not just our decision. It's to do with what Jesus actually summons us to and what he has done. But you get the feeling, follow me or reject me. In that true Hebrew style, you have those both those poles. hope you don't think it's too superficial. If you're a Marmite lover, you won't. That's the alternative that's given to us about Marmite. Love it or hate it. And here on a much more serious theme is Jesus really saying, follow me. And if you don't follow me, you reject me. You love me or you hate me. We know it's a star that the Hebrews use, but he's making it as stark as that. And perhaps you're still in that phase of not quite sure where your feet will come down if it's between one thing or the other. Or perhaps you are, but yet you know so often you drift off. In this statement, God is clear and unambiguous in the words of Jesus. We must hear his claim and we must make a decision to come to him or not. And yet we know that Jesus also says, contrary to other rabbis, you did not choose me, but I chose you. It was the custom of the day for people to choose the teacher that they wanted to follow. But Jesus makes that amazing statement. God in Jesus is saying, I have come to you. So the beautiful song, you did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. God came to us. And here is the summons. I am here. Come. Respond to what I've done, in other words. And that is what Jesus says to the world. I have come. Respond. Thanks, Jim. Jesus talks about heavy loads. And we know that the Pharisees had disciples. We read about that in Mark's Gospel. We know that they considered themselves ultimately disciples of Moses, in other words, the true disciples. But they recognized too that Jesus was calling and making disciples, which threatened their power base. The Pharisees were essentially threatened by Jesus calling disciples to himself. And Jesus in this summons is contrasting his discipleship to the Jewish discipleship, what they knew and experienced in that day, where religion had become a burden for many, especially the poor. And Jesus castigated the Pharisees and the scribes for tying heavy loads of religious duty onto people's backs and not lifting a finger to help them carry the burden. He talks about that in Matthew 23, verse 4. If you look on in the passage that we're reading about, straight away there is talk about the Sabbath regulations and how they left people really on their religious days bowed down with what they couldn't do rather than really what they could enjoy. The Greeks also must have been exhausted, and surely Jesus was referring to them when he talked about heavy loads as well. Exhausted for searching for hundreds of years about who God was, what truth was, what righteousness was. And Jesus is saying, you have carried heavy loads. And many times people carry heavy loads. And Jesus came to lift these burdens of mere religious duty and Pharisaical living and perpetual seeking and never finding that weighed people down, to lift these burdens and to enfold people in his arms. Come to me, he says. Come to me. A picture I had yesterday when I was preparing was that for people, I don't know how big the tablets were with the Ten Commandments on, but can you imagine trying to carry around two tablets with the Ten Commandments on? But in fact, these people were weighed down even more. They carried them on their backs and in their minds and in their lives all the time. And Jesus says, come to me if you're tired from carrying these heavy loads. And he promises an easy yoke and a light burden. He talks to them about rest. And this comes not just from throwing off the old yoke, for feeling you always have to do things a certain prescribed way, but also taking on a yoke. He starts to say to them that they can throw off the old yoke, but they need to take on another yoke. You know, there's a real difference between repression, where people feel they can do nothing and their personality and everything is imposed upon, and restraint. Although many people disagree with me when I talk about the restraint of God being a wonderful thing, they'll say, oh no, you're just repressed. Restraint is very different from repression. Restraint is welcome. Is welcome. If you put a seatbelt on, you are restrained for your own protection. If you put a parachute on, parachute harness, when you jump out of a plane, it's there to give you restraint. But a beautiful guide, you know, restraint can be very welcome. Restraint is lacking today. At the leaders' prayer breakfast yesterday, we had heated concern talking about some of the things that are happening in our world. Restraint is desperately needed by today's people, but not a heavy loading of law. Jesus calls people into partnership with him, his task and mission. And this deep commitment brings peace and satisfaction if we get the balance right. And this is what we were saying as leaders yesterday. We need that balance of being yoked to Jesus so that our lives are in balance. I will give you rest, said Jesus. He speaks about a yoke. And the amazing thing about this is Jesus is a carpenter. Jesus would have measured the ox he was making the yoke for. He would measure, design, made, and fitted many yokes for pairs of oxen to plow with. That's what the carpenter would have done, not just made furniture, but actually made the yokes that linked together the oxen. And just as a bespoke tailor makes a suit to uniquely fit a person, so a carpenter would make a yoke to fit the oxen working together in a team. And a well-fitting yoke, and you've all seen the pictures, enables a team to move large loads to accomplish much more than they would if they weren't yoked and working in a team together. And the Jews knew the picture of the yoke, and they talked about the yoke of the law. And at their bar mitzvahs, Jewish boys agreed to the commitment, the taking on of responsibility of the yoke of the law. And that was often symbolically acted out by them putting a yoke upon their shoulders. So they knew what Jesus was talking about. But he was talking about a different yoke, a yoke that would not repress them and chafe them and destroy them. The Pharisees and the scribes had, of course, made the yoke of the law unbearable. And now he's saying, don't go back to the law, but come to me, because my yoke is made for you, and it will fit well. It will fit well. Jesus is calling them to learn that key aspect, and to learn together as a community from him. Not just to learn in the same way that we learn at school, to satisfy our intellect, to build up a bank of knowledge. Even in schools, that would be frowned upon now, but to learn so that it really changes our personalities and our lifestyle. Learning from him. And the early Christian document, the Didache, calls Christ's commands the yoke of the law. They recognize that Jesus actually gives a yoke, a way of living. And of course, it's a different yoke. You remember Jesus saying, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. And he interprets the law correctly. His new law of love, the yoke of love. In some ways, the laws of Jesus are far more demanding than the Ten Commandments. They cut far deeper. Being a disciple of Jesus is in some ways far more demanding than just trying to obey a set of written rules. But there is a difference about wearing this yoke. It's a response by us who've been liberated and set free. The yoke is not imposed upon us. And what we're asked to do, to love sofas, strangers, outsiders, foreigners, aliens, as well as one another, becomes possible. It is a new yoke. It is not heavy to bear. I read a wonderful book about 12 years ago called Walk Across America. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's about two guys who are brothers, and one of them is able to walk and one of them isn't. His disability is that he can't walk, and so his brother carries him across America rather like a backpack. And that, the whole book is about their relationship and their desire to see America together. And of course, the song that must be sung, we won't get Pauline to sing it. Where's Pauline? Oh, she's with the children. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. The whole image is there, that if we're doing something in love, it's not onerous to us. It may be demanding, it may be exhausting, but in a sense, it's not too heavy a burden. And with Jesus, that really is the yoke that we bear. Thanks. How is this possible? Why does Jesus say this is easy? Well, it's got to be easier than what he was setting people free from, this terrible religiosity and bondage to the law that was there. Well, he calls us to labour alongside him, not to work on our own or even with a group of fellow disciples, but to be bound to him and to experience the rest, quote, the Sabbath, which is 24/7 for us as believers, meant to be, that comes from this relationship. He's saying this relationship, if you are yoked to me, will be a relationship of rest. It means learning to live this way, to live in balance, and that's no easy task. Again, we were sharing that at the leaders' prayer breakfast, to hold together work and family and church and living for God, and that balance and enjoying the rest of God is something we have to learn through a whole lifetime of having that balance of being yoked to Jesus. Certainly more difficult than a three-legged race. But why does Jesus say it's easy? Well, the first point is that we're not having something put upon us that takes no account of who we are. Jesus knows us. He calls us personally. Your task, your yoke, is made to fit you. What God asks you to do will tie into your gifts, your ability, and your personality. And so discovering Jesus and walking in discipleship will be a discovery and a fulfillment of who you really are. So every yoke, in a sense, is individually made. And so the yoke fits easy. But the main point why it is easy is because of the nature of Jesus, who we're yoked to. He is gentle and humble. Or in the King James, it would have said, he is meek and lowly. And those words are reflected in that beautiful song, Jesus, how lovely you are. The nature of Jesus must not be understated. And in the notes, when you get those or take them down from the webpage, you'll see I've quoted some scriptures, particularly Corinthians, that are drawing out of Isaiah and Zechariah the promises of about the Messiah, that they would be meek and lowly, totally strong. But the nature of Jesus is not to impose. Even with God the Son, there is a humility and a gentleness in how he deals with us. He calls us to be yoked to him. You want rest for your souls. I believe every person seeks that. I was listening to a program yesterday about how children are being learned to relax in schools, and I'm all in favour of that. I think children do need to de-stress and learn how to do that. I just think it's sad that we don't look at the message of Jesus to do that rather than go to an Eastern philosophy of yoga and relaxation to do that. I believe there's rest for our souls within the message of Jesus. And it's actually found in this relationship of discipleship with Jesus. It's not just a religious experience, I want to say that. It's to do with relationship with the person Jesus, as we begin to be yoked to him, as we know the restraint of Jesus, these things are good for you, these are not, this is a rich experience, and so on. The restraint and the rest it gives, being yoked to Jesus, is then experienced in our souls, and it is very, very welcome to us. It's how we're meant to live. How we're meant to live. So hear this wonderful call of Jesus. Come to me. And let's start by acknowledging, well, we still know so little of what that means. But let's pray that through worship, through quiet reflection, many, many experiences that God gives us, we may come closer to Jesus and enjoy that rest for our souls, which is actually in an active partnership. It's not just even sitting there doing nothing, although sometimes it wonderfully is. That rest and restraint of coming to Jesus. We're going to, from this idea, flow straight in, that comes straight out of Scripture, to taking bread and wine together. There's the invitation, come to me. And as we take this meal, in a way that is symbolically saying exactly that. Jesus, you have come for me and come to me and I respond. So we're just going to sit in quietness, and those that are serving, John, Lola and Hilary, are going to come and join me. Let's, as we're quiet, just reflect on that invitation. What our response is as disciples of Jesus to that invitation that he makes. If it helps you to close your eyes, then let's just do that.